ask if anybody has a 9-volt battery with them.
I sent Will to get one, but he's not back yet, so I'm just going to try to speak loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
I titled today's service, Why the Ethiopian Eunuch? It's a question that I've asked many times, and I've studied this passage over and over again, but when I studied it 2 weeks ago, I found more stuff that I had never noticed before. So I'll be reading the passage from Acts, some of you may not be overly familiar with. I ask you to bear with me and really focus on the text or words and see how they move you. I'm taking a class on scripture by the heart, which is more than memorization. It's actually letting the scripture get down inside you and fill you and then telling the story. I don't have this one down yet, so I'm going to be reading. If you would like to read along with me, on page 120 of the Pew Bible is the passage that I'm going to be reading. It's Acts 26 through 40. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And Will's back. Do I need a microphone, or are y'all okay to hear me? You okay? Okay. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May God bless the hearing and the reading of the word. Think about what you heard in this telling or what you read along with. It's a really fascinating story, a little fascinating insert into Acts. Here's what I noticed. The angel tells Philip to go, and he goes. The Spirit tells Philip to go, and he runs. What I take from this is that Philip isn't just being asked to sit in his pew and just love those who show up. While that's extremely important, we also need to get up and go. I think that if all we do is sit in the pew, we miss our opportunity to find those who are naked, hungry, sick, lonely, and so on, and minister to them. We miss our opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ. Now, I did find some interesting tidbits in my study, which I thought I would share with you, because I always like to share what I discover. I can't share all of it, because this is a long passage, and there's so much to unpack that I'm just going to do it here. Philip was likely a Hellenized Jew. In fact, he probably was a Hellenized Jew. Hellenized means that they accepted Greek customs and Jewish customs. So he was a Hellenized Jew. And they were not really looked upon with great favor by the traditional Jews. He was not the Apostle Philip, but rather a deacon who replaced Stephen after his stoning. That came a few verses before all this happened. Now, for those who are unaware, a eunuch is a male who's been castrated or had his testicles crushed. They were forbidden to enter the temple because they were considered imperfect. However, according to one commentary I read, eunuch does not always mean castrated male. It could also mean impotent, celibate, or in some other way non-procreative. The point is, Philip doesn't seem even remotely bothered by the eunuch's sexual or social status. He just goes up. William Willimon, in his Acts commentary for the Interpretation series, points out that if the gospel is being preached out in the wilderness area of Gaza to this individual with a murky religious, ethnic, and physical status, it is the work of the Spirit, not the work of men. I also found out that Candace, which a lot of people pronounce Candace, but actually pronounced Candace, is not a proper name, but a title for the Queen of Ethiopians. The fact that the eunuch is in charge of Candace's treasuries shows what type of political position he was in. Some scholars and early church fathers, when reading this section, conclude that the eunuch went back to Ethiopia and converted many to the faith in Jesus Christ. While it is tempting to say what he did, Scripture doesn't tell us. All Scripture tells us is that he went away rejoicing. I read a couple of scholars who say that he started the Ethiopian church because there's a really strong Ethiopian church. But we don't have proof of that. That's just supposition. Now, the part that he was reading in Isaiah talks about the outcast of Israel from the ends of the earth coming to the temple to worship. Those living in the ancient Near East, where Israel is located, considered Ethiopia the ends of the earth. It's just the furthest south that they knew of. However, scholars argue about whether Ethiopia really means from Ethiopia. Some scholars said that it could refer to any southern African nation. But as I said before, you put two scholars in a room together, you've got at least four or five different comments. They rarely agree. And let me tell you, when I was reading the commentaries on this one, none of them agree. It was really hard for me to find what I really liked. So anyway, having said that, reading what scholars have to say can really open up a text for us. Now, Isaiah is talking about the salvation of the nation of Israel in this section, not necessarily about Christianity. Well, not at all about Christianity. Christianity wasn't on the scene. Isaiah was talking about salvation of Israel. And we take it a different way than what Isaiah actually meant it, but that could be the Spirit leading us. Luke, when he uses Isaiah, by the way, Luke is the one who wrote this one as well as the Gospel of Luke. They're a pair. It's actually two volumes. Gospel and Acts. So Luke, when he uses Isaiah, is quoting the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible or Old Testament. Interestingly, the Greek translator or translators, when translating the Hebrew to Greek, got a word wrong. They just missed it. I don't know if they didn't know what the word was supposed to be. However, in Hebrew, the word translated is taken away in the version I just had here. Other English translations say lifted up. In Greek, actually means cut off. So instead of having the humiliated servant taken away from the earth or lifted up from the earth, the Hebrew Bible says humiliated servant was cut off from the earth. That's quite a shift. That says something totally different. And it's important when we're reading our English translations to understand this is the translator's best guess at what the author meant to say. And we pray for the Spirit to help us when we read to understand what's being said. Now, even though there were translational issues, Philip used the translation that he had before him as a platform to start explaining the good news of Jesus Christ to the eunuch. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to meet people where they're at and talk to them. We can't assume that they know everything that we know. We have to assume that they don't and start where they're at and what they're reading. Conversations with other folks should not start with me assuming that they know everything I do. Rather, I should learn where they are and build from there. This is how the good news of God's uninhibited, unending, unlimited forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love are communicated. So let's go back to the title of the sermon and my main question I tried to answer, which is why the Ethiopian eunuch? The gospel, as I've said before, the good news of Jesus Christ, is subversive. It takes what is accepted and turns it on its head. For example, eunuchs are forbidden in Leviticus from entering the temple or the tabernacle. And we have to listen closely to the text. The text says he has come to the temple to worship and was headed home. Doesn't say he went into the temple. We add that often because it makes a logical progression. But we've got to be careful about adding to Scripture what's not there. Another curious thing happens. He is reading from Isaiah. Since the quoted text is straight from the Septuagint, we can safely assume that is what Luke wants us to understand. However, only priests were allowed to read the sacred scrolls. So the question becomes, how did he get his hands on Isaiah? He's clearly not a priest. So, there were at the time papyrus sheets that were woven together and made as paper, and you would write on both sides and sew them into books. There's not any evidence that I can find through my different searches that that's what he had. It looks like he had a scroll. So the question I came up with, how did he get his hands on the scroll? Did he steal it? Did he use his power and influence to force someone to give him a scroll? Or did he use the wealth he had to buy the scroll? We don't know. It's a mystery, but he has a scroll, and he is reading from Isaiah. By the way, those woven papyrus papers are called codices when you sew them together. I skipped ahead. But again, Scripture doesn't tell us exactly how he got hold of it, so we don't know. We just have to live without the answer. The truth, however, is that it's not important to the story how he got the scroll. The truth is that what's important is he was reading the scroll. He was reading Isaiah. And that's what was important. So let's be like the Ethiopian, seekers of the truth. Let us also be like Philip, doers of the word, not just listeners and sitters. Let's be the hand and feet of Christ. Listen for the gentle nudging of the Spirit. I think God is always talking to us. I think we have to open our hearts to listen. So listen for the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit and try to follow where the Spirit leads. You may find yourself in unexpected places with unexpected people doing miraculous things. Philip listened, and look what good he was able to accomplish. So go and do likewise. Be the hands and feet of Christ. Amen.
Come to the time of service, we take up the morning offering. Sorry about that.